Greetings, Highkirk family. I thank God for this opportunity of preaching the Word of God to you. The title of my message is Reaching the Unreached. The foundation scripture that is taken from the Bible is from Romans chapter 15, verse 20. Yeah, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Paul's desire was to reach the unreached with the gospel where Christ is not named. And he did fulfill that God's mission with the vision that God gave him. So, why we have to preach the gospel where Christ is not known? Because there is three Christ. In Isaiah 6 verse 8, it says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me, Lord." Isaiah the prophet heard the voice from heaven, and it was the cry of the heavenly Father. Father God was crying and telling Isaiah the prophet, "Whom shall I send and who will go for me?" And Isaiah did answer that cry. The second cry, Luke chapter 16 verse 23. "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Verse 24, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Here we are seeing the cry from hell. The rich man is crying from hell, saying, "Father Abraham, send someone to my family to preach the gospel." That's the cry from hell. And thirdly, we see from Mark chapter 10, verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." In verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now this is the third cry, and the cry is from the earth, saying, "Father, have mercy upon me." Because of these three cries, cry from heaven, cry from hell, cry from the earth, there are many people today are crying from the earth, globally and in many places where the gospel is not reached. People are crying, "Come to us and preach the gospel." We should be answerable to that cry. So, in order to answer these three cries, we have to preach the gospel to the unreached. So, how do we reach the unreached with the gospel? I would like to give you three obedient components that we have to obey. First of all, pursue God's vision. In 1 Timothy 2 verses 4 to 6, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Dear God's people, We have to pursue God's vision. And what is God's vision? God's vision is that every man on the face of the earth must be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In 1987, God called me to preach the gospel to the unreached. Before that, as I was being raised in a Christian orphanage, when I was 9 years old, I had a dream that I wanted to study and I wanted to become a big person and I wanted to do my PhD. I wanted to become a great person. But in 1987, after my Bible school, God spoke to me that I have to go to an unreached village. The name of that village is Chelikere in South India, Bangalore. This was totally unreached village and not even one Christian was there. And I asked the Lord, "Lord, who is going to support me? Who is going to help me? And who is going to provide me? And how will I know that place?" Somehow I came to know that village, and middle of the night I traveled to that village, and I didn't know anybody except I went to a non-believer's house and I knocked at his door, and he opened the door. He was a drunkard, and as he opened the door, he asked me, "What is your name?" I told him, "I am Mark Jayakumar." He asked me, "What are you here for?" I told him that I want to preach the gospel. "What is your profession?" I told him, "I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ." And also he asked me, "What do you want?" I told him that I need a house to rent. "I need your house." He said, "This is so strange. I cannot just understand anything." "Okay, you can rent my house." So I was in that house in that night. After a few minutes, this man comes to me and knocks at the door, and he asked me whether I had food. Actually, I didn't have food, and I just put the rice mat and I was kneeling down and I was singing a song that is, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." But this person who knocked at the door, owner of the house, he didn't know English. But when he came and told me, he told, "I think you didn't have food. Mark, you must have food." I asked him, "How do you know that? How do you know that I didn't have food?" He told, "Well, you were singing a song and I didn't understand anything because it was in English. But all I understand was, 'Daddy, I am hungry. Give me food.'" And he cooked food and gave it to me. For nearly 1 year, I was in that village, went to every house in that village, knocked at the door of all the people and preached the gospel. Not even one person came in that village. After 1 year, one old lady came. She was the Sunday morning congregation. Another year, there was another woman, and that is my wife, Francina Mark. Only for two people I preached for 1 year. Nobody came. Many people came and discouraged me. They told, "Mark, why are you here in this village? This village is totally very bad village, and lot of thieves are there, and lot of people who are non-believers, they are against the Christianity, but still you are here and nobody is coming. Why are you here?" But Holy Spirit was telling me that you continue to preach the gospel. And I continued preaching the gospel. But one day, the Lord told me, "Your dream was to obtain PhD as you were being brought up in the orphanage. I am going to give you PhD. I am going to give my PhD, and my PhD is preaching, healing, and deliverance." Guess what happened? After a few months, lot of people from four corners of that village were demon possessed, and they started coming to to us to get prayed. We started praying for them. Many people were delivered and healed. And we started the first church in that village. Now we have 3 services on Sunday morning and Sunday evening in that village. From there, we went to several other places preaching the gospel. And now we have more than 15 churches in various parts of Karnataka and India. Dear God's people, as we obey and as we are pursuing God's vision, God will definitely meet our needs and He will provide with His provision. Secondly, we have to endure persecution in order to preach the gospel to the unreached. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5 it says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry." As I was preaching the gospel, many times we were attacked with the radicals. But praise God, we are enduring and we are continuing preaching the gospel. I can tell you stories after stories how we had to face persecution. But in the midst of persecution, the evangelism was so powerful. And we could establish many more churches in our state. I will tell you one story. Several years ago, we went to a village, a remote village, to preach the gospel. We wanted to stay there for 2 days. 10 of us were in one car. We traveled to that village. After showing Jesus movie, we wanted to reside there. And the people in that village came and told us that we have to immediately vacate from that village. And we were all inside the car. And then the mob, many people started coming to us and telling, "We are going to burn you alive. We are going to pour out the kerosene on your car and we are going to burn everyone alive." All of us are in the car. Many of my team members made a phone call to their wives and said, "There is no way that we can come back to the homes." And even I myself also made a phone call to my wife and children, and I said, "It's very difficult for me to come back because this is a big persecution and they are trying to kill us." 1 hour we are inside the car. The car is in the on position. So there are people who are on the sides of the car. Some people are in front of the car. Some people are back of the car. Few young people were on the top of the car. And they had rocks in their hands. And they were telling that they are going to kill us. 2 hours over. Many people were shouting and telling that we are going to kill all these 10 people. And we had no way of escaping. After 3 hours, I remembered that all of us in the car, we just prayed. After a few minutes, we prayed. And Holy Spirit reminded me Bible words from Psalms 121 verse 1. It says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from where my help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heavens and earth." 1 minute after that prayer, a strange man comes from nowhere and he talks to one of our team members who was sitting on the driver's seat, and he said that, "I am here to help you." And he made all the people who are sitting on the top of the car, who are on the sides of the car and who are in front and back, and he called all of them aside and he was acting as though he was going to collect the money from us. And he gave a signal to one of our staff who was sitting at the driver's seat and he said, "Please take off the car." And as soon we took off the car, I remember all the people who were holding the rocks were just like this. they were stunned. They were wondering what happened. It was just like a dream for them. And we escaped from that village. After 1 hour drive, we found out that we came at the train track where there is a gate that was closed. And as the car was driven fast, we could know that this gate was closed. But we prayed, "Lord, you divided the Red Sea for Moses and Israelites when Pharaoh and his army were back of them. In Jesus' name, let the gate be open." Guess what happened? The gates of the train track was open and we could just go through that gate and we escaped and we were safe and we came in the morning to our house. And there are several other stories I can tell, but wherever we had to go through persecution, there we can see churches are established. So we have to endure persecution. We have to go through persecution in order to preach the gospel. Today, there is one church and there are many other churches in that village that the Lord Jesus Christ is praised and glorified, and many people are worshiping the Lord in that place. The third component in order to preach the gospel to the unreached is be moved with compassion. Matthew chapter 9 verses 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." There are many people that are scattered and they are wandering in their life without Jesus, the good shepherd. And the Lord is calling every one of us today to preach the gospel. Our vision is to train missionaries and to send them to plant churches in unreached areas. I would like to tell you a story. Several years ago, God called me to preach the gospel in one unreached village from my village. I, my wife, and the team members went and were preaching the gospel. As we were preaching the gospel, few people were hearing what we preached. But about four people came from the left side and they came to me and said, "Stop preaching the gospel. You are not going to come here, preach the gospel next week." So we packed up everything. We came back home. I declared 3 days of fasting and prayer. First day we prayed, second day we prayed. We wanted to check whether we have to go to that village and preach the gospel. On the third day of our fasting prayer, I heard Holy Spirit speaking to me, "I want you to go." I was arguing, "No, I am not going because they are going to break my leg." One of the young boy told, "If you are going to come to this village, I am going to break your leg." And I told Holy Spirit, "They are going to break my legs. So do you want me to go?" Holy Spirit told, "Don't dictate me. Don't argue with me." With still small voice, he said, "You go and preach the gospel." So I told my wife and I told my team members, "Here we go." We went there and we started preaching the gospel. And many people were listening to what we are preaching. And as I was preaching, I saw this four young men coming to us. As they were coming, Holy Spirit reminded me and told me to pray a supernatural, miraculous prayer. And I prayed this way, "Lord, blind these four people's eyes." Guess what happened? As these four men walked through us, one of the men was telling, "Where is that guy? Where is those team that are planning to preach the gospel and preach the name of Jesus Christ? They are not here. Maybe they are afraid." They went in front of us, but they could not see us. After we preached the gospel, we came back home. 10 years later, I got a phone call. This was one young man. He called me and he asked me, "Pastor Mark, do you remember me?" I told him, "No, I don't remember you." He told his name and he told the village. And he also told me that, do you remember about 10 years ago you came to this particular village? I said, yes. And also he told me, do you remember among the four people there was one guy who told you, Pastor Mark, that he was going to break your leg? I told, yes. And he said, I am that person who told you that I am going to break your leg. I was a bit taken aback, but still he continued his story. He told, do you remember you prayed to blind the eyes of these four people? I said, yes, I know. Then he said, for sure enough, my eyes were blinded, but I went home and I wept and I was saying, if you are true God, Jesus, if you are true God, I heard your name for the first time, and if you are true God, open my eyes. And for sure, my eyes were opened. And guess what, Pastor Mark? I became a believer because of you preached the gospel, because Jesus did miracle by opening my eyes. And you should also know that I am an assistant director of India Bible League, and now I am distributing Bibles to many churches and I am preaching the name of Jesus Christ. It's because of your obedience coming to that village. Dear God's people, this is what we need to do to reach the unreached people with the gospel, because there are men out there, there are women out there who are crying to be saved. Will you move with compassion? I want to repeat once again, the three components of reaching the unreached with the gospel. Number one, pursue God's vision. Number two, endure persecution. And number three, be moved with compassion. Let me pray for every one of you. If you want to be moved with compassion of Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with the compassion of Jesus so that you can go and preach the gospel to the unreached. Raise Up His ministry. God has given us vision to plant many more churches in unreached area where Christ is not heard. We want to train many missionaries who can go and take the gospel and preach the gospel to the unreached. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the word that you gave to us. Help us to pursue your vision and help us to endure persecution. And also, Lord Jesus, help us to be moved with your compassion to preach the gospel. As there are three cries, cry from heaven, cry from hell, cry from earth. There are many people who are crying, Lord, and help us to answer just like Isaiah. Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, send every one of us to preach your gospel to the unreached area so that many, many, many thousands of people can be saved and enter into the kingdom through our obedience. We give all the honor and glory unto your name. Bless Hiker family and bless everyone that they will be moved with compassion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.